Time for our scripture reading. I'd like to invite Eliana up front. Come on, honey.
What?
Okay. So, Eliana memorized a passage, which is our theme passage for this weekend and last weekend, because we're not letting Thanksgiving go a little too quickly, right? We're already starting out this whole morning with expressing our praise and gratitude to the Lord. So she had a passage that she memorized for Thanksgiving and wanted to, well, I asked her to share it with us. I don't know if she wanted to, but all right. So what is the psalm you're going to be?
Psalm 101 through 5.
Okay. So share it with us.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Amen. Great job. Great job. Love you. So looking at that passage actually wasn't, believe it or not, not planned. Because thinking about Thanksgiving theme, this passage that we're going to highlight today, which we've already sang about, was on my heart even for last week. So I think it's kind of cool how the Lord is just allowing, I think, all of us to really marinate and just let hearts of gratitude rise up within us. Again, even when it's hard, you know, even when it's hard. So we're not letting Thanksgiving leave us too quickly right now, and that's going to be our theme even for today. So, but let's pray. Father, yeah, we rejoice in you. We know that you are present in this place, God. We are more than two gathered, Lord, and we know that you inhabit the praise of your people, Lord. So we commit this time to you, Holy Spirit. Just have your way and speak through your word. Speak to our hearts in ways that only you can. So we commit this service to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, I'm still a little full. It just never works out. I intend to eat less, but why? Why? It's Thanksgiving, right? Like, just let it go. So yeah, I'm still feeling it, I think. But anyway, I don't know about you. Sometimes when I'm rushing out of the house, which I do once in a while, I rush out of the house, I second guess if I lock the door. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. Or if I'm parked in a really busy plaza, for example, I'll second guess, did I actually lock the car door? What's interesting, though, is usually after I go to double check if I did lock the door, I always did. It's always locked. So it's just like this weird phenomenon, right? Like about how our bodies are wired. So sometimes even in the morning, to be a little more personal, I might question, oh, did I brush my teeth? Did I put on deodorant? not because I smell funny, although my wife might tell me I do, so I have to listen to her, and yeah, maybe I didn't. But 9 times out of 10, or 9.9 times out of 10, I always do it, right? I always lock the door. I always brush my teeth. I always put on my deodorant. These things are very routine, right? They're very routine. So for most of us, we perform these types of tasks very regularly, very routinely. They take place without much concentrated effort. That's basically the point, right? And for the things that we need to be reminded about, we use technology. You know, we have phones or little reminders sometimes or alarm clocks to help us do what we have to do. But God designed our brains and our bodies with the amazing ability to remember our actions, you know, our movements. And they're reproduced through the movements that we have, like there's a lot of repetition. So the more we do something, the more fluid and effortless our movements become. So think about like a different skill, right? Someone's someone types a lot, or someone's a painter, or maybe playing a specific instrument or sport. The more you do it, it just becomes effortless, right? You don't even have to think twice about it. Or what about driving, right? Getting from point A to point B. How many times, if you commute a lot, which like I've done a ton of commuting in my work, I've commuted all over the place, but it was very routine. Like I could go from point A to point B without, like almost like on autopilot. Like I hardly even really had to think about it, right? I don't know, you know, if you commute a lot, you probably understand. So for me, I would know when to turn. I would know when to stop. I would know when to slow down. I would know when to look for cops. hope I'm not incriminating myself here, but I do a lot of highway driving, and you kind of know, you know. So anyway, nobody here is like that, right? It's just me. But we're family, right? Yeah, we're all going to get to know each other really well, and you're going to start to get to know me. So, and I need prayers just as much as I'm sure you do. Having traveled a particular route or path many times before, we've trained our bodies, we've trained our minds to repeat previous actions with ease. Again, it's effortless. So this brought to mind a story about a friend of ours a number of years ago. This is exactly what happened to our friend. He was driving, but what I'm describing right here wasn't in the way that you think. You see, we got a message to pray for Dave. Dave is a pastor friend of ours who used to be our pastor, and he still is a dear friend, and you might get to meet him next week, actually. Well, he was in an accident, and he damaged his family van while driving, but thankfully he was okay. No other cars were involved. But we were all very curious what happened, what caused the accident, because all we heard was just pray for Dave. He was in an accident. Pray for Dave. He was in an accident. So everyone was curious. So I vaguely remember that he hit like a telephone pole or something like that. And so we were praising God for his protection. But we wanted to know more of the story. What happened? So days later, we finally heard more of the details. And none of us who knew him really well were in the least surprised to find out what happened. Basically, he was driving, and he must have lost himself in worship in the car, because David, if you know David, he has a heart of worship unlike anyone Beth or I have ever known. So there must have been a split-second moment while driving, I know this sounds crazy, when he just maybe closed his eyes and just was just worshiping the Lord, and he hit a pole. So yeah, tough story, could seem humorous, but really, there's a really interesting point in this. Basically, he would never advocate, I would never advocate modeling this example, right? Like, who would ever want that to happen to them? But we could imagine his conversation, right, with the officer. I mean, you think about it. It can be a little funny. Like the officer filling out the report, and he has to explain what happened. He's like, officer, I kind of was entering the throne room of God in that moment, and I just had to praise my Lord. And for a split second, I closed my eyes, and admittingly, I wasn't paying attention, and this is what happened. So yeah, it can be a funny story. I can understand, because there's times when I really can get into worship music and just feel like God has really spoken to me in a very meaningful way. But I remember how this story really challenged me. More than anything, it really challenged me to reflect and to ask myself, when was the last time I entered into God's presence like that, you know? Like so often I'm on the go, so often I'm very busy, but when have I really stopped to just kind of soak him in and just allow His Word to just minister to my soul. So it was just kind of something that prompted a lot of questions for me. You know, could this really happen? Like, seriously, man? Like, while you're driving, dude? You know, like, you had to close your eyes? But yeah, like, you know, it just happened that way. And so yeah, it just, like a lot of things in life, I reflect. You know, I reflect, I ponder. You know, God, what is the life lesson here? What are you saying? And so that's what the challenge was for me. You know, when was the last time I entered in to that most holy place, you know, where everything else is forgotten but Him, you know? It doesn't happen a lot, you know, it doesn't happen a lot. But God wants us there, you know, God longs for us there. So the thought of this, I understand, it might sound a little deep, you know, the thought of this might sound even a little new for some of us. The idea of really just coming before God without our, like no agenda. You know, I mean, think about that. You know, a lot of times we approach Him with our agenda. You know, a lot of times we approach Him for what we get or what we want, what we expect, you know. But just consider, you know, and we're going to go somewhere in this message, just consider that God delights in our praise. You know, God longs for our praise. You know, He longs to meet us in that special quiet place of intimacy with Him. So anyway, I don't know about you, if you've been drawn to God's presence like that, when the Holy Spirit was ministering to you so personally in a particular moment that you forgot your surroundings. But that's a special time, you know? That's a special time between you and your God, you know, between us and our God. And yeah, cherish those times and long for them, you know, because really we get hit hard in our you know, this is beautiful. You know, we're coming for the Lord together as an assembly, and we're lifting praises, we're hearing from His Word, we're hearing from others. But we get beat up during the week, you know, and it's real hard to praise Him that way. Like when we're feeling, you know, stuck or confused or frustrated. Sunday morning is absolutely a great time to express our praise. And yeah, maybe close your eyes. You know, for me, I'm easily distracted. I'm like really, really easily distracted. So I've learned a while ago, like God was just saying, just forget your surroundings when you're in my presence. I'm just speaking, just speaking out loud. He's like, just close your eyes. Just close your eyes, you know, and don't worry about what someone else is doing or where someone else is looking or what someone didn't do. Like, just, this is you and me now. This is you and me now, you know. And so I kind of took that word to heart. You know, I took that word to heart, and it's been very meaningful for me. So on a Sunday, that's kind of my norm, because I know my tendency is to be very easily distracted. And I encourage you to do that. You know, I encourage you, if that's something you haven't done before, yeah, like, close your eyes, you know, like, but if not, like, it's no big deal. But God wants us to meet Him on a regular basis, not just on Sunday. You know, like, even my friend, our friend Dave, like, he was driving doing errands. Like, it was in the middle of his busy week. And just, there was just a moment in the car when he just felt the presence of God, you know? So it can happen beyond just Sunday morning, you know what I mean? So the main takeaway with that story is that even in the midst of, you know, his busy week or whatever, Dave was able to enter into a place of worship. Why? Because it was a well-worn path. It was a well-worn path. One that he had traveled many times in his relationship with Jesus. I'm not suggesting he did it unconsciously, but merely that it was a path so familiar to him. It was so familiar to him. It was so comfortable to him. It was so desirable for him that when he was able to enter into God's presence, it just happened with ease. It just happened with ease. There was like a trigger that just went off, you know, like just a trigger, and just lost himself in worship, you know. God longs for that for us, you know? God longs for that. I'm sorry for the you know, by the way. There's, I've been pointed out by my you knows. I say you know a lot, so forgive me. Just some feedback I received. I'm trying. So we all assumed that Dave was listening to probably some awesome worship song in the car, and that, you know, as he sung and meditated on God's love, on God's mighty attributes, He simply responded with heartfelt praise. Heartfelt praise. And did you notice how beautiful when Skip right here was touched? Right. Did you see that? Yeah. Did you see that? Has that happened to you? Has that happened to you before? You know, we don't always get there because we're not always coming to Him. When we come to Him, when we enter in like that, He just softens us. He softens us. And there's such a... It's like gravity. It's like gravity, like in the reverse. You know, it's like a heaven-bound gravity that takes place, you know, when we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Like, there's a motion, there's a movement that moves us forward or moves us upward. And out of that, it's just the Spirit of God within us that just rises out, praise. You know, we might want to hold it back. Like, we want to keep it down. When we get upset, we get mad, and just like, I'm not praising you. You know what I mean? I'm angry with you. Whatever it might be. But no. The Spirit of God in you wants to let it flow out. Let it flow out. But we have to approach Him. We have to first approach Him with thanksgiving. And so that's kind of where this is going, I think, in this message. So let's read Psalm 100 again. If you're familiar with the Psalms in the Bible, they are filled with praises. They're filled with worship of God, of how huge God is and His great love for us. Psalms are awesome, right? Very poetic, very beautifully expressed from real people just like us who had real problems. So let's look at Psalm 100 again. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Amen. This is a psalm of thanksgiving, which expresses so beautifully, again, a heart of joy and gratitude for who God is as our Creator, how He cares for us, His people, as a shepherd cares for the sheep. And does this song, I don't know if this hit any of you when reading this, did you think of Jesus in this? Did you think of Jesus? What did He say? Jesus, our good shepherd, right? John 10:11. We read it last week, actually. John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. This is our God. You know, He relates to us with this caring love, this pursuing love, right? This reckless love. He stops at nothing. Like, nothing can stop Him from pursuing you, pursuing me. You know, like, this is the God of creation. You know, this is the God of glory. You know, and Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He lays down His life for us. So Psalm 100 speaks of the Lord, you know, as being our shepherd. And we serve Him gladly. And to Him we shout and sing joyfully. And last week we read from Psalm 107. And here again, in this psalm, if you read verse 5, the Lord's goodness, the Lord's loving kindness, the Lord's faithfulness is once again declared right here. By the way, whenever you see repetition in Scripture, whenever you see God repeating something, we always take notice. Right? It's just kind of how I read God's Word. If I'm reading something and I'm slowing it down, I'm like, oh, He said that before. Oh, He said that, you know, a few chapters ago. Oh, like, take notice, that's all. Like, you know. Don't need to overthink it. Just take notice. God really wants us to latch on to something. So what does the Lord want us to latch on to in verse 5 here? What does He really, really, really want us to understand right now in verse 5 here? That He is always good. That He is always loving. And that He is always faithful. It's repeated throughout the Scripture. This is our God. This is who we're talking about here. As it relates to our Thanksgiving theme, You know, we talked last week about guarding our hearts from ingratitude. The psalmist right here in Psalm 100 gives us another clue. You know, last week we talked about if we have nothing else to be grateful for, we need to look only to Jesus Christ. We need to look only to Him and the cross He bore for us, right? So we fix our eyes on Him, right? This is what we were kind of trying to draw out last week. But right here, the psalmist gives another clue of how to guard our hearts from ingratitude. And he provides a helpful model, actually, in this psalm of how each and every one of us can enter into a place of worship to personally encounter the living God. Psalm 100, verse 4. We sang about it. We read about it. We're reading it again. And by the end of this message, I hope we take ownership of Psalm 100, verse 4, and that God puts this deep within us as His people. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Bless His name. So, I'm sure you're catching this, right? What's the clue? You know, guarding from ingratitude. Thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. Not only does this keep our hearts humble and grateful before the Lord, but giving thanks to Him is how we bless God. How we bless God. It's interesting, right? Like, so often when I pray, like I'm praying for other people, Lord, bless them. Let Your favor rest on them. God, bless someone else. Bless me. You know, God, bless someone. But how often do we consider that God desires for us, His people, to bless Him? To bless Him. You know what I mean? And it's just kind of interesting. You know, I think Psalm 100, verse 4 in the NASB, it uses the word bless. You know, bless His name. Bless His name. So how do we do that? By acknowledging Him for who He is and thanking Him for what He has done. Thanking Him for what He has given. Verse 4 also gives reference to the Hebrew temple, if some of you are catching that too. The gates being the entry point to the temple grounds, and the courts would take us nearer to the entrance of the temple itself. So note the progression here. There's a progression going from the outer gates to the inner courts. Yet before entering into the most holy place, we begin with thanksgiving. And that's what the psalm is teaching us. You know, before even getting there, you know, before the spirit within us, the spirit of God within us rises up to just belt out that praise or whatever, however it looks for you. It could be quiet. It's okay. You know, like we're all different. Like, it's fine. But yeah, if we are the redeemed of the Lord, like we said last week, we will say so somehow. We will say so somehow. Like, it'll come out somehow. So the point is, we enter in. You know, our part is to enter in with thanksgiving and praise. And out of that, we get nearer to God's heart. We get nearer to the point where we can bless Him with our praises. We can thank Him and acknowledge Him for who He is, what He's done, and what He's given. So our thanksgiving and praise moves us closer to the presence of God. Now, even in Christ, how we approach God, you know, we don't have a physical temple, right? Because really, God's word says that we are the temple of God. You know, that's a whole other message. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But even with the freedom that we have in Christ, understand how we approach God is still very important. It's still very important, you know, to have that posture of reverence and awe before Him, you know, for who He is. Where we don't just seek His face. We don't just seek His hands. He wants us to seek His face. You know, and I remember when God put that on my heart, like, I got convicted. Because a lot of times, like, if I was following a pattern in my prayers, if I'm real honest, I guess a lot of times it was about me. I guess a lot of times it was about what I wanted God to do for me. You know, if I'm just being real honest with you. So God had to show me that, no. Like, we pray for things, as we should. Jesus says to ask, right? Like, we're exhorted in God's word to give our requests to Him, to cry out to Him with our needs. Absolutely. At the same time, understand, he longs for our praise. He longs for our thanksgiving. He longs for us to seek his face, not just his hands. Not just his hands. And we do that through our gratitude, and we do that by acknowledging him. So thanksgiving, which is what's great about thanksgiving, is that it's just a set apart time for us, even as a nation. It wasn't always the case from, you know, I'm not a historian, but the little bit I understand, it was decreed to be an official, you know, holiday to for the people to express thanksgiving to God. And the little bit I know, and I'm sure someone here is going to do a fact check if I get it wrong, and it's okay, tell me, but I believe this was instituted when, at a time when there was some turmoil in the country, when there wasn't peace in the land. There was some times of war, maybe the Civil War, you know, right? Okay, thank you. If my wife is nodding at me with a yes, I'm good. I'm good. So thank you, honey. So anyway, it's not even anywhere what I meant to say, but the point is, yeah, like praise God for Thanksgiving. Praise God that in times past we had leaders in our nation that would at least say, hey, you know, like we're going through war right now. You know, like things aren't right, but let's be a people, let's be a nation that gives thanks to our Creator. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, as the church, God wants us to do the same. It's no different. You know, we always need to have that posture of thanksgiving before the Lord. So anyway, back to the temple. Remember the temple veil? A little bit, maybe? The veil separated what was called the Holy of Holies. This is what divided God's presence, the dwelling place of God, from the rest of the temple. And only the high priest, at the time, only the high priest could enter into that most holy place once a year on the Day of Atonement, which you might have heard about. So the veil signified, this veil, this covering, this veil, signified our separation from God because of sin, right? It's very intentional. Everything about the temple was very, very specific and meant something. So yet, praise God that even though this veil was in place, that at Christ's death on the cross, you may recall when you read the Gospels, when you read the Gospels, what happened? That's right. It was torn in two. It was shred apart. You know, there's no longer separation because Christ purchased full access for us into the heart of the Father, right? Like we could be restored through Jesus Christ. So that's the significance of some of these things. So even the veil, you know, was torn in two. So Christ's death allows us entry. We now can enter in. We don't have to wait once a year or rely on a high priest. We don't have to wait for a priest to interact to God for us. You know, because really Christ was our high priest once and for all. Once and for all with his sacrifice. Hebrews 10. 19 to 22 says this: therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, how? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he opened up for us through the curtain, the veil, that is, through his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. So again, even in the New Testament, it speaks of the significance of Christ's sacrifice, tearing the veil, you know, by his blood. And the outcome, the result, is that we can approach God with confidence, it says. God's word says we could approach him confidently. Jesus Christ made this possible. But what's our part here? What's our part here? Draw near. You see that? Draw near to him by faith. And with what? With a sincere heart. So that's our part. That's our part. God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. The song is so beautiful, isn't it? Like reckless love. Like he stops at nothing. Like just personalize that. personalize that sometimes, you know? Like, he had you in mind. You know, he had me in mind on the cross. You know, I mean, it's amazing. It's so wild to think that he cares for us. He knows us. He loves us. And he longs to meet with every one of us in a very personal way. You know, in a very personal way. And thanksgiving and praise are the pathways that our hearts must travel. Our thanksgiving and our praises are the pathways our hearts must travel to lead us closer into that place of intimacy with God. It starts with thanksgiving. It starts with praise. And our worship, you hear worship. Worship is our natural response. And that's how we get there. So like my friend Dave, who couldn't contain himself while he was worshiping, even while driving, sometimes it happens that way. Again, we don't ever want to follow that example. And by the way, if you're ever driving with me, and I'm driving, and you see me close my eyes, don't feel like you have to close your eyes too. Really, the most spiritual thing you could do is just hit me, okay? Just hit me, because we don't want to go that way. You know, we don't want to hit any poles or whatever else. So regarding this, I also thought some of you might recall a little bit about King David and his background, right? There's so much we could draw out about King David. But here's one thing specifically. A time when King David, people took notice of some of his movement, some of his action. You know, he's the king. You know, he's the king. But yet, there was a point when he could not contain himself. There was a point when he could not contain himself. In 2 Samuel 6, it says, he was dancing before the Lord and rejoicing, and he was praising God. And this was when the Ark of God was brought back to Jerusalem. Scripture indicates that he was so beside himself that even his wife objected. I don't know if you remember any of the story, but even his wife objected. But what was King David's response? He said, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humiliated in my own eyes. Even for the king. Even for the king, it didn't matter. He hit that point. The Lord brought him to that point where he just lost it. He just could not contain it with himself to just praise and dance before the Lord. Now, I'm not suggesting, okay? I'm not suggesting any one of us come into this place, right? And disrobe. Because really, if you know the rest of the story, there was some of that that kind of happened, you know? Like, some of his garments seemed to be a little loose for the king, you know? So don't worry. Like, that's not our message here, you know? But, sorry. You have to know the story. You have to look at the detail. I'm trying to be careful. The main point is that when we have hearts of gratitude for what God has done, we come into his presence. We come into the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, and we can't hold back our worship. We can't hold back our worship, you know? A.W. Tozer, an author I like to read, especially in a devotional, he put it this way. He said, God wants to cultivate within us the adoration and admiration of which he is worthy. He wants us to be astonished at the inconceivable elevation and magnitude and splendor of Almighty God. It's a mouthful, I know. It's a mouthful. But when you read authors like that, you slow it down and you just kind of soak in the words. And a lot of times, actually, I'm looking up some of the words, to be honest, because some of the English, sometimes like older English, you know, but I'll research it and I'm like, wow, that is deep. But anyway, the main point of that quote is that God is really, really big. And he's large and in charge. You might have heard that expression, right? He's over and above everything. God is over and above everything he has made. And he desires for us, the redeemed in Christ, to always remember and to always recognize that he alone is worthy. To acknowledge and elevate him above every one of our circumstances. To thank and praise him for who he is as our perfect heavenly Father who cares for us, who loves us, and never leaves us. He pursues us, right? He pursues us. He won't let you go. He's not giving up on you. He's not giving up on me. He never does, you know? So as far as expressions of praise go, right? Like, even within church tradition, there's a lot of diversity, and it's okay. You know, sometimes we can be more reserved. Some places are more expressive, you know, in their outward expression of praise. It's okay. You know, God looks at the heart, always, always, always. God looks at the heart, right? But for some of us, it might mean hands held high. Maybe it means heads bowed down. Maybe it means loud shouts. Maybe it means quiet tears. Quiet tears. Maybe sometimes it does lead to dancing, like with King David. But what's important, though, is that as we enter his presence, we simply acknowledge that he is God and we are not, right? We are in every sense of the way, from our heartbeat, from the blood that flows through our veins, we are in every sense reliant on our Creator to sustain us. Every day is a gift. You know, every day is a gift. So, Hebrews 4, 16 says this, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, none of this would be possible. None of this would be possible without the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. It's now our privilege. It's now our privilege to those who believe in him, to receive Christ, to meet with him. It's our privilege to meet with him because Christ tore the veil that separated us from God. We now have full access to the throne of grace. And the Lord invites us to come to him boldly and confidently. You know, like, we don't have to be ashamed. He wants us to come to him as our perfect heavenly Father, you know? So in his presence, a lot of things happen. You know, when we create that space for God, when we kind of create that space for him and enter in, you know, sometimes there's healing. Sometimes there's forgiveness. There's hope. We find hope again. We find his peace again, right? From the insanity, from the chaos that spin it all around us during our week sometimes, you know? Like, it's like, zoom in, you know? Like, land on that zone of safety with the Lord, you know? And he'll revive our peace. He revives our perspective to where it needs to be, you know? So in his presence, what else do we find? His acceptance. And our purpose. And I love this psalm. It's not really, this could be a whole other message, but like Psalm 16:11. In his presence, there is fullness of joy, the scripture says. Fullness of joy. So yeah, a lot happens when we come before him. A lot happens when we come to meet him, when we enter in with thanksgiving and praise. You know, again, that's our part. That's our part. And God will wait for us. Sometimes he waits for us to get there, you know? But he longs to minister to our soul, to speak to us. He knows what we're dealing with. That's why, you know, he knows what we're dealing with each week. And he wants to meet us. And at the same time, he wants us to praise him, to thank him, to guard our hearts from ingratitude by giving our praise to him. So if there's any parents here, right, and you have kids, you definitely understand, I'm sure, how joy just comes upon you when you hear thank you from one of your kids, right? When one of your kids actually expresses appreciation for something you've done and you don't have to like prompt them, like with Caleb, like our 3-year-old, like sometimes I have to say, he kind of upsets me, let me be real. Like, he's doing all these things, he doesn't want to give me a hug, I feel disrespected, like I just gave him a cookie, you know, like, I mean, I just put on Elmo for him, I love this kid. He's my son, right? I'm doing all these little things. I try to play with him. He runs away from me. He wants his mommy, you know? I told you. We're going to get to know each other really well. So I give him something, and I have to say, what do you say? What do you say? It's like I'm prompting him, I'm coercing him, I'm trying to train him, which we should, right, as parents. Like we try and instill in our kids some sense of courtesy and gratitude and politeness, you know, say thank you, say please, you know. But he doesn't always do it, you know. But when he does do it, and there has been some times lately where he has said it without me asking him, let me tell you, it meant the world to me. It meant the world to me. You know? So if you're a parent, you could understand. But check this out. Really, really. There's a reason why God relates to us as our Heavenly Father. Right? Let's be real. There's so much about the Lord apart from what He has revealed to us. You know, like, who could fully fathom the depth and greatness of the Creator, right? But He's chosen to relate with us as a good, perfect, loving, Heavenly Father. Imagine how His heart must feel when we just go about life without expressing our praise and gratitude. Will He still be faithful? Absolutely, because you know what? It's part of His character. The scripture says He is faithful even when we are faithless. He cannot deny Himself, the scripture says. The point is, just like I want to receive a thank you from my 3-year-old, you know, or any of you who have kids, like, it's nice when you feel like you love them anyway, you bless them anyway, you serve them, and sometimes we don't get it, you know, and in all things, it's unto Christ. In all things, it's unto Christ. Even, by the way, when people don't express appreciation for what we do, we know it's unto our King. But when they say thank you, you know, especially our kids, especially family, especially people we love and care about, like, it means the world to us. So just consider, it's the same with the Lord. You know, it's the same with the Lord. It delights His heart. And if you're a young person here, and you have a mom, a dad, a grandparent who loves you, don't ever take them for granted. Don't ever take them for granted. Thank them. Thank them often, because it's not easy for them. It's not easy to be a parent. It's not easy to be a loving grandparent today, you know? Love them. Thank them. Be grateful for them. So, a closing psalm. Closing passage is Psalm 22, verse 3. You may have heard it said, God inhabits the praise of His people. Well, this is where it comes from. Psalm 22, verse 3, which says of the Lord, You are holy. You are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Some translations, like the King James, use the word inhabits. So a lot of times, I often hear it, actually. I often hear, God inhabits the praise of His people. It's a great word, great word. Right now, I just want to focus on enthroned. Because most of the other translations say enthroned. To me, enthroned really underscores what this message is all about, actually. Enthroned is what happens when in our hearts, when we meditate on God's goodness, and we speak of His faithfulness through our thanksgiving and praise. We're elevating Him. He's enthroned upon our hearts. That's the result of coming before Him with thanksgiving and praise. He becomes enthroned, elevated, lifted up. He is forever enthroned in heaven, as we all know. But He desires to have His rightful place within our hearts as well. You know, within each and every one of us, He desires to have His rightful place within our hearts. So the question is, for any one of us, you know, is the Lord Jesus seated on the throne of your heart? You know, have you come to that point where you've acknowledged that I'm wrong, you're right, forgive me? Sometimes it's that simple, you know, repentance and faith. We could dumb it down. I'm wrong, you're right, Jesus, I believe in you, save me, rescue me. That's your entry. That's your entry. That's your beginning point to receive the benefits and the significance of that torn veil, to enter into a relationship with God. Or I could restate the question this way, for those of us who are in Christ. Is your attitude one of gratitude, Skip? Right? He's already speaking out that word. Is our attitude one of gratitude? Check yourself. I have to check myself. You know? Again, understand, like, I'm speaking and sharing with you in ways that God challenges me. You know? Like, we learn from each other. You know? I understand, like, God's calling me to lead. And I will. You know, by His grace, I will. But I never want to lose a certain level of authenticity, you know, where my heart could become prideful or arrogant. You know, like, I know for myself, for any one of us, we always need to guard our hearts. You know, from thinking like we got something, or it's my skill, it's my talent, it's the work of my hands that did such and such or whatever. No, God gives everything to us. Everything comes from Him. All that we have, all that we are, comes from Him. You know, that's stripping it all away. That's the, before the cross, it's just a level playing field. You know what I mean? So I'm just speaking to you, you know, as God put this on my heart, that I need to watch myself. I need to make sure my heart is grateful before Him, and that He is enthroned upon my heart, that my attitude is one of gratitude. And His word, and what He's put on my heart to share with you, He's teaching us the remedy here. Well, how do we do this, right? Fix our eyes on Christ. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts of praise. Do it often. Do it often. Find something to be grateful for. Has your gratitude led you to a place of worship? Has your gratitude led you to a place of worship? I pray so. I pray so. And while it's tempting to move so quickly from thanksgiving and allow popular culture to dictate for us through like the like gazillion marketing and advertising that's just hitting our emails and commercials and billboards and buses and radio, like they're kind of trying to tell us what to do. They're trying to tell us right now that, okay, yeah, whoop, Thanksgiving, turn the switch, now we all become shoppers, and now we just all become, like, no, like, look, shopping's okay, right? We're preparing for Christmas. I get it. Like, I'm trusting God's going to give us an awesome Christmas message, a Christmas theme, right? But even now, with the messages of culture, just saying, just be careful. You know, be careful. We don't need to be swept away by what other people or other agendas are trying to tell us what we should do. You know, we need to be grateful now, even in the shopping season, you know, to say, hey, praise God, I got $5 that I could buy a gift for someone, you know, whatever it might be. Like, but my point is, we shouldn't move too past Thanksgiving. Beth and I have often saw that. Like, in the holidays, it's like, oh, one thing to the next. And, okay, now what? This is our next... By the way, I come from a background in retail, so maybe I'm a little scarred from some of the stuff that they do, you know? Like, but yeah, just... God wants us to have Thanksgiving every day. You know, every day we can enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And in view of what God has done for us in Christ, and in view of the mercy, and in view of the grace that we've received through Him, let's be a people, let's be a church, let's be a family that enters His gates with thanksgiving and His courts of praise. Let's make well-worn paths. Let's make well-worn paths of worship in our hearts that are so familiar, so comfortable, so desirable, because we've tasted. We've tasted of the Lord, and we've seen that He's good, and we want to go back. We want to go back to that place, and we want to do it often. Again, make this personal for you. Make it personal for you, you know? Maybe you have some quiet time once a week. It's okay. Start somewhere. But just create some space for the Lord to thank Him. That's all. And let's bless God. Let's bless God. Let's be a people who bless God by continually giving Him the acknowledgement that He deserves. That He deserves. All right? Let's pray. Jesus, You gave everything for us. When we look at the cross, we are just so humbled. How could we ever repay? If only with but a small expression of our thanks. So Lord, we thank you for all that you have done. God, and everyone in this room, Lord, we all have a story. We all have a journey with you. And there's times when we wrestle with you. Where there's times when we doubt you. And there's times when we know that we grieve your heart. So would you forgive us? Would you forgive us for those times when we go ahead of you and we think that all that we have comes from us and not you? Lord, keep us in a humble place of worship before you, Lord, to acknowledge that every day is by your mercy. God, every day is by your grace, and that with whatever time we have in this life, which is fleeting, your word says, and but for a moment, Lord, help us to live with the purpose that you've called each of us to be as your witnesses, as your ambassadors, as a people who praise your name, who are so in love with you that the world takes notice. So God, God, let our sights be on you, your glory, your beauty, and may we just be faithful in what you call us to do here as a church, as a people, as a family. And give us hearts of gratitude always. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Happy Thanksgiving again. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.